If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Not all of our minisodes need to be from listeners. In fact, places or lesser-known cases can sometimes take us to dark realms. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another installment of Dark Realms. And this week, it is our penultimate Dark Realm for Season 20. Because, of course, next week's Dark Realm will be the one prior to the season finale of Season 20 of The Dark Paranormal. And speaking of the season finale, believe me, it's one you won't want to miss. Neither will be the penultimate episode, Episode 9, coming this Friday. And, of course, we still need your experiences for both Season 21 and all of the offshoot shows that we do. Yes, we have Season 21 mapped out, but as always, this is a flexible show, and if the right experience comes in, which I believe you'd sooner hear, then that's what we'll do. I'll remove one of those episodes and insert the one that I find more intriguing. Don't forget to submit your experience of any length. You can either visit the link in the show notes or go direct to the website, thedarkparanormal.com, and click Submit My Experience. And remember, experiences of any length are applicable. The email address, contact@thedarkparanormal, is still valid, but that's now for people with either suggestions, people offering help. For example, in last week's Dark Paranormal, somebody did ask specifically for audience help, and that's where people sent their assistance. Also, if you have an idea for a dark realm for us to explore, then do use that email address, contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And two final things before we move into today's dark realm, and I literally mean into the area of today's dark realm, of paranormally, arguably one of the most historical, significant paranormal places ever. One clue should be all you need for today's episode, and that is this place was featured in the Guinness Book of Records as the most haunted place in England. With that said, the two points I'd like to make is number one, you're obviously aware by now this is not in video format, and the reason for that is we're still a bit back and forth with YouTube over a few things about copyright, etc., and it may delay the release of The Dark Vault, which is recorded and ready to go. But we need some confirmation and some guarantees from YouTube going forward. Secondly, in case you haven't heard it already, we've extended the free Patreon week trial to the end of Season 20. So your final day, and I do mean final day, to take advantage of that free trial week will be Friday the 18th of July. At midnight on Friday the 18th of July, it will stop and arguably won't appear again, maybe for another 10 seasons, if at all. But right now, we are here to take a look at one of the most fascinating historical paranormal places I've personally ever known. This place is one of the places that got me into the paranormal. It was featured in a book, Osborne's Book of Ghosts, and it fascinated me. I'll be perfectly honest and say it fascinated me anyway because of the stories, but doubly so because there is a place with the same name about a mile away from me. And genuinely, between the ages of maybe 7 and 9, I believed this was the same place. But obviously at that age, I wasn't allowed to go that distance to go and visit this place. You can imagine my disappointment when I found out it was several hundred miles away. But my paranormally obsessed 7-year-old disappointed self aside, today we are going to step foot into a place which is not only an overall dark realm, but one which houses several dark realms. So much so, it featured in the 1989 edition of the Guinness Book of Records. So join me as we take a look at the dark realm, which is Pluckley, England's most haunted village. Pluckley is a small, picturesque village in Kent, one with a history stretching back over a millennium. It appeared in the Domesday Book of 1086 as a notable settlement, and its parish church of St. Nicholas dates to the 13th and 14th centuries. For centuries, Pluckley was a quiet agricultural community under the local Dering family's influence. The Dering Manor once stood nearby and even gave its name to the local woods and landmarks. By all daylight accounts, Pluckley looks like a postcard-perfect English village, complete with historic cottages, ancient oak trees, and rolling green fields. This tranquil hamlet gained eerie fame as Britain's most haunted village after it earned a place in the 1989 Guinness Book of World Records for its supposed abundance of ghosts. With barely 1,000 living residents, Pluckley allegedly hosts one ghost for every 89 people, a ratio that has attracted countless ghost hunters and curious visitors. Pluckley's supernatural reputation took hold after World War II, when locals and writers began swapping eerie tales. By the 50s, it was dubbed the most haunted village in England, and the legend was cemented when it featured in the Guinness Book of Records, where Pluckley was listed as having 12 distinct ghosts. In truth, people now say the number of ghosts can be anywhere from 12 to 16, or even more. Nearly every corner of Pluckley has a spectral story. St. Nicholas's churchyard is home to the mournful Red Lady, Lady Dering, said to wander amongst the tombs looking for her dead child. The White Lady, another Lady Dering from centuries past, reputedly haunts inside the church, guarding her sealed lead coffin. A ghostly monk is rumoured to stroll near Greystone's house, and a lady of Rose Court supposedly poisoned herself in Tudor times over a tragic love triangle. There are tales of phantom horse-drawn coaches clattering down Pluckley's lanes at midnight, startling witnesses who vividly heard wheels and horses' hooves striking against the cobblestones on a modern road. And the list goes on. In local lore, every historical ghost stereotype has a home in Pluckley. There's a hanged schoolmaster whose spirit allegedly swings from a tree on Dicky Bus Lane, a hanged colonel haunting nearby Park Wood, a phantom miller appearing as a black silhouette, mischievous pub spirits, even a haunted patch of shrubbery ominously nicknamed the Devil's Bush. But amongst all of these, there are a few hauntings that stand out, to me at least, as the most terrifying. And we'll begin with a spirit with a terrifying name, the Screaming Man of the Brickworks. On the outskirts of Pluckley, amid the ruins of an old brickworks, the Screaming Man makes his presence known not by sight, but by sound. The legend speaks of a brickworker who met a horrific end at the clay pit over a century ago. Some say a wall of damp clay collapsed and smothered him. Others say that he fell into the pit, drowning in the viscous clay. Locals whisper that his dying screams never left the site. To this day, people report terrifying cries echoing through the abandoned brickworks, as if reliving that fatal accident. The core legend remains simple and chilling. A man's violent death has trapped his agony in that place, and he forever screams for help, help that never came. Yet witness accounts make this even more realistic. In 1991, a resident crossing Pluckley Heath, near the old brickworks, heard an ear-splitting shriek pierce the night. At first, he thought it might be a vixen's scream. Foxes can sound eerily human, but he quickly dismissed that idea. "I know what foxes sound like, and this was no fox," he insisted. "That was a man's scream. A man in sheer agony. The cry was so human and so filled with terror, it froze his blood." He stood there in the dark, his heart hammering, convinced he just heard the final mortal scream of the long-dead brickworker. Skeptics suggest it must have been an animal. But as the witness recalled, "It didn't sound like any creature I've ever heard of. It sounded like someone being torn apart." This account is just one of many over the years that describe the same blood-curdling disembodied wail. One paranormal investigator described spending a midnight vigil by the brickworks and feeling an oppressive silence settle in, right before an abrupt scream ripped through that silence. It came out of nowhere. One moment quiet, the next this horrific scream fills the air, he said in October 21. Two visitors driving past the deserted site were shaken by an encounter that didn't even involve a sound. As they crept along the dim road, a patch of mist appeared ahead, a strangely localized fog bank rolling over the asphalt. They slowed down to find the mist clinging around them in pocketed wisps. "Full of holes like Swiss cheese," one of them later described. An inexplicable chill cut through the air inside the car. They drove off trembling, convinced they had just had an encounter with the screaming man of the brickworks. Next, we'll take a look at the Phantom Highwayman at the appropriately named Fright Corner. Near a crossroads at the edge of Pluckley stands Fright Corner, a place whose very name warns of its ghostly reputation. The legend of the Phantom Highwayman haunts this spot. In life, he was a highway robber. Tales call him an unnamed brigand, though some later dubbed him Robert Dubois, who prowled the country lanes and oak groves, preying on unwary travellers. His reign ended violently at Fright Corner. One faithful light, the law, or perhaps vengeful rivals, ambushed him by an old hollow oak tree that then stood on the corner. Accounts differ on the details. Some say there was a dramatic clash of steel as the highwayman fought, like a cornered beast, until multiple swords pierced him, pinning his writhing body against the oak. Another version insists the outlaw tried to hide by climbing into the hollow trunk, only for a pursuer's sword to be thrust straight through the tree's heart and the man. Either way, the core legend remains. The highwayman was slain by cold steel at Fright Corner, skewered to a tree, left to die with a scream on his lips. The tree itself, witnesses say, absorbed so much violence and terror that it became part of the ghost story. And even though that oak was cut down decades ago, its phantom image can sometimes reappear, along with the spectre of the dying highwayman pinned to it. Locals and visitors have passed down chilling accounts of encountering this ghostly scene. People driving by the crossroads on dark evenings have reported glimpsing a fleeting vision in their headlights. One group of ghost hunters conducting a midnight exploration suddenly heard the distant clink and clash of swords carrying through the air. "At first, we thought we were imagining it," one investigator recounted. "But then we all heard a bellowing scream, like someone's dying cry." By the time they gathered the courage to sweep their flashlights over the corner, there was nothing to see. Only an empty patch of grass by the lane and their own rapidly cooling footprints. A terrified local man once swore that he'd saw the highwayman's ghost seemingly pinned in midair, where the oak tree used to stand. He was walking home one moonless night when he noticed a dark figure leaning oddly in the roadside gloom. As he drew nearer, the shape resolved into that of a man in a tricorn hat and a tattered coat, standing as if backed against an invisible wall. The witness then slowed, puzzled. And that's when he noticed a phantom sword protruding straight through the man's chest. The highwayman's head was slumped forward, an expression of shock and pain seemingly etched on his face. Aghast, the man shook his head and blinked, and the entire image, highwayman, sword, and whatever unseen tree he'd been pinned against, vanished, leaving the poor witness stumbling backwards in fright. "It was there, and then it wasn't," the man later confided. "But I know what I saw. I can still picture his face, and that sword sticking out of his chest." These real experiences laid atop the old legend make Fright Corner a focus of both dread and fascination. It's precisely this atmosphere that makes the highwayman one of Pluckley's most gripping entities. Because here, history and horror and an actual violent death blend. And the result is a ghost story with a real bite. One that leaves even brave visitors feeling like looking over their shoulder once they've heard it. And lastly, we will take a look at the Watercress Woman of Pinnock Bridge. Now that may sound peaceful and nice, but wait until you hear. Down a quiet mossy lane in Pluckley lies Pinnock Bridge, an innocuous old brick bridge over a small stream, and the site of one, if not the, village's most poignant and frightening legends. The Watercress Woman, sometimes called the Gypsy Woman. According to local village lore, she was an elderly Roma woman named Sarah. Indeed, historical research suggests she was Sarah Sharp, a real person. She earned her living by gathering wild watercress from the stream and selling it in bunches to villagers. Every evening, the old woman would sit on the low walls of Pinnock Bridge, resting her weary bones. Wrapped in ragged shawls and skirts, she would smoke a clay pipe, taking swigs from a bottle of cheap gin to stay warm. Eccentric but harmless, she was a fixture of local life, a lonely figure illuminated only by the glow of her pipe's embers. But one fateful night, the Watercress Woman's routine turned tragic. It's said that as she sat there on the bridge, maybe she drank a bit much, maybe she fell drowsy and fell asleep in the autumn heat. But whatever happened, she did fall asleep, with the pipe still clenched between her teeth. and at some point a few burning embers fell from that clay pipe onto her clothes. Her skirts, soaked with gin from a spill from being too drunk or by accident, immediately caught fire. The flames whooshed up, turning the poor woman into a human fireball. Startled awake and in agony, she emitted a piercing scream that no one heard at the time. Out here at the edge of the village, her cries went unanswered. By the time morning came, all that remained were charred scraps of her clothes, covering the perished, burnt corpse of the watercress woman. A well-known account from the 60s tells of a couple who decided to seek out the ghost of Pinnock Bridge one autumn night. They stood on the bridge in silence, the husband with a camera around his neck and the wife clutching his arm. The night was moonless, extremely dark. The only sound, the gurgle of the stream below. As they later described, an unnatural hush fell over the area. No birds, no crickets, no owl hoots. It was as if the living creatures felt a presence, telling them they needed to leave. The wife started to shiver uncontrollably, although the night was not cold. They decided to make their way down to the bank to see under the bridge. And a pinkish light flickered under the arch of that bridge, catching their attention. Intrigued if it was other people looking for their ghost or maybe the embers of a cigarette, they leaned over to have a peek. To their astonishment, the light rose up from beneath the bridge and floated to the far side, forming a hazy pink cloud on the bank. And in that glow, the wife discerned the outline of a stooped woman. It was like looking at a dim neon sign shaped like a person, she later said, still awed. I could make out her head, shoulders, and the way she was hunched, and I realized she was holding something to her mouth, like a pipe. The old woman's ghost then slowly turns her head toward them. Though the face was indistinct, a pair of faintly glowing eyes met theirs, and that was enough. The couple hastily retreated. Now, my first thought was, as is often the case in unexpected tragic deaths, this could be a stone tape or residual haunting. But the turning of the watercress woman's face to meet theirs, well, that implies, if not sentience, at the very least, recognition. To quote an overused quote, if you look into the darkness long enough, don't be surprised, quite literally in this case, if it looks back. Thank you all for joining me at this look of one of my personal favourite Dark Realms. Be sure to join me next week for our final Dark Realms of Season 20. And until then, stay safe and take care.